River Islands in Lathrop. Let's welcome in Brian Geltzeiler, Sirius XM NBA Radio. What's up, Brian? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How we doing?
All right. Playoff time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if we should start over. Let's start with the Warriors. Let's start out with your impressions on the first four games and what you saw and what you're thinking about it.
Better than I thought. And I say that as a guy that picked the Warriors to win the series in seven. And when I say better than I thought, I knew the Warriors were a good defensive team and could guard well. I knew Houston was going to have late game struggles with finding who the guy is to go get you a big bucket when you needed it. I guess I didn't think the Warriors would be this good defensively, and I didn't think Houston would struggle this much to find a basket at times that they needed it. So I think it's gone very well. Winning a game without Jimmy Butler is an enormous boost to this group, an enormous boost. Doing that the other night at home, I thought was a massive, massive accomplishment Saturday night. And right now, the Warriors, let's face it, guys, are trending in the right direction.
No, I like that, Gelty. You know, I love the game. I'm a fan of the game. But at my core, you know, my partner's trying to slow me down. I'm trying to look down the road and what I'm seeing, you know, the Warriors against this young, upstart, and tenacious defense. Gelty, I just feel like, oh my gosh, they might be able to pull this thing off. And for now, let's just say maybe beat Minnesota, the Lakers winner. Would you tell me to slow down, or could you kind of see where I'm coming from with what I think this pedigree is starting to shape up with Jimmy and the Warriors?
Well, listen, so let me say this. The Knicks last night should serve as a cautionary tale to the Warriors tonight. The Knicks, who, you know, even they have some younger players, but it's kind of a veteran group, and it's certainly a group of guys that play a whole lot of minutes. And, you know, they don't have much of a bench. And listen, Steve Kerr goes much deeper into his bench. Even when guys aren't that capable, he'll still use guys off his bench. But the Knicks, one loss at home in a game five, you know, after being up 3-1, and all of a sudden they're in a world of hurt going back to Detroit. This is a problem for them. Brunson banged up, Hart banged up. Here's my point about the Warriors tonight. You're a veteran team. You already had to play a game in this series without Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry's 36. You come home against this group, and really, listen, the Warriors are going to score points. Jimmy Butler's going to get to the free throw line. We know that. Curry will take enough threes to hit enough threes. You know, 5 of 13 the other night, but again, percentages don't look wonderful on that, but they're good enough. You will get your points. You got to lock down defensively. You have to continue that tremendous defensive effort. You have to understand if you're going to let Şengün be the guy that beats you, you will beat this team. And so to me, tonight has a lot of urgency. And I said this about the Knicks going into game five because of Brunson's ankle, and I feel a similar way because of Butler already missing a game in this series. This has got a game seven feel to it tonight for the Warriors. I think getting one tonight is and getting this series over with is so vital because this is a really talented, really athletic Rockets group that is hard-nosed and tough-minded, and in a similar way the Pistons are. Go give this group life, and they're going to give you all they can handle. You have your foot on their throats a little bit coming back to your building with your crowd tonight. Take care of business. And yes, listen, saying we're going to take care of business doesn't mean you're going to make outside shots go through. But saying you're going to take care of business means you're going to play conscientious defensively, high energy, good effort, a team defensive approach, and be smart and locked in mentally and emotionally on that end of the floor.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game, Sirius XM NBA Radio. The Warriors are getting some contributions out of some players that maybe, you know, the national fans aren't quite aware of, whether it's Pajemski or Post or even Buddy Hield stringing together a couple good shooting nights. Do you feel like their role players have not only stepped up, but is it sustainable for them to continue to play as well as they're playing?
Yes, Matt, I do. But let me distinguish between certain role players. Listen, Post is hit or miss. He's going to take advantage on defensive end of the floor. If he's hitting shots, great. If he's not, he's borderline useless. I kind of feel, and maybe this is not popular with Warriors fans, I kind of feel the same way about Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield loves his shots. He doesn't guard all that well all the time. But if he's making shots, he's worth having on the floor. Pajemski's a guy that if you haven't paid a lot of attention to him as a casual fan, you ought to be. Because he had a terrible first half of the season. As time's gone on, he's settled in, gotten more comfortable, and really playing next to Steph Curry has been something that has created a career for this guy. He's built tons of confidence. He's willing to take a big shot. He handles the ball really well. He also knows when to defer to Steph Curry. And listen, there's one other guy I'm going to throw in there that, listen, obviously Gary Payton played a big role in the 2022 championship team. He's been excellent in the series. Moody matters a lot, guys. Moody is the reason that you don't miss Wiggins all that much. Mm. And again, he doesn't need the ball to be effective. He's defending really, really well. And he'll hit the occasional catch and shoot open three for you. So, like, when you look at your role, guys, Post to me and Hield are more hit or miss. I feel like Pajemski and Moody are guys that you can really count on.
Kelsey, I had Warriors in five, but I'm impressed. I've been impressed like hell by the Rockets, especially defensively. My goodness, and they've lost and wet the bed at the free throw line. With all that said, if you're Udoka in the Rockets, how big of a problem is Jalen Green? And do you expect him in the starting lineup? Because I think I don't tonight.
I would listen if I'm, and you may be, by the way, Darryl, you may be right. He may not start tonight, but if I'm Ime Udoka, I have to start him. Even if I pull the plug on him early and go away from him, I have to start him because he's a lightning in a bottle type of guy. If he gets hot and he gets going, he can really help you a ton. Listen, here's Jalen Green's big problem as an NBA player, and he's really young and he's going to figure this out sooner rather than later. He's only got one speed, and if he's not hitting three-point shots, he's only going to the basket. There's no real mid-range threat with him. He just hasn't quite gotten that part of his game figured out yet. When he does, he's going to be a lethal go-to scorer. And by the way, if the Rockets make a big deal in this offseason, it may not be with Houston, but he's going to figure that out. In this series, as a lead go-to guy, he's overmatched. He is. So they've tried to use Şengün. He had the one hot game. But the problem with Green, to your point, Darryl, is that if he's not making shots and you have a great back line of defense with Draymond on the help side with this Warriors group. So if he's not able to finish at the rim and he's not getting to the free throw line and he's missing free throws when he is getting to the free throw line, you have all those situations, it becomes tough to keep him in the game as your go-to guy. The problem is, if you're not going to him for a big bucket, who are you going to? Van Vliet's been pretty inconsistent in the series. Şengün's been excellent. And listen, I had him as third team All-NBA, but he's never been in a playoff series before. This is his first time. We're really counting on him to be the dude. My point being is that I think if I'm Ime Udoka, I need to find out where Green is early in this game. And if I don't like where he is, I'll sit him down. But I don't have a chance at having him get hot and help me tonight if he's coming off the bench. He's got to start. The kid's still young. He's a little fragile ego-wise. Like, you just want to see what he's got for you tonight. And if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it. So you may be right. Ime may not start him, but I think he should.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game, Sirius XM NBA Radio. I mean, since the Warriors are up 3-1, and the Lakers, Minnesota is 3-1. Let me ask you this: what challenges, if the Warriors were to advance, and they play either the Lakers or the Timberwolves, how do you handicap the Warriors against either of those teams?
Well, so let's start with the Timberwolves because that looks like the most likely scenario.
All right.
The Warriors run into a massive size problem. And the thing about the Timberwolves that makes them very dangerous to beat anybody in the league in a playoff series is that the lineup optionality, the versatility that they have. You want to play a small lineup against them, fine. We'll go Randall and Reed. Even better with McDaniel playing at this level, we'll go Reed at five, McDaniels at four, and have Edwards, DiVincenzo, and Conley, or Edwards, DiVincenzo, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's a long player. Like, they have so much lineup optionality that for the Warriors, like, the Warriors were just going to try to make them match down because the Warriors don't play as strong with a bigger lineup. They'll match down really easily. You're not, the thing in this series that impressed me, I thought that Minnesota was going to have trouble with the Lakers if the Lakers, had to match Gobert and Conley off the floor. The Lakers have matched Gobert and Conley off the floor, and Minnesota still hasn't had a problem. And so you look at that in a Warriors series, that to me is trouble. I think the Warriors have a much better chance against the Lakers in a series because the Lakers have to play smaller. They don't really have a capable five. Jackson Hayes, you know, to me is... I think he can help maybe a little bit more than JJ's using him, but he's not a crunch time guy. So to Warriors, you know, they can get away with playing small in a series against the Lakers. With that said, I will also say this, the 2-3-1 series there, I give the Lakers a better chance to come back on the Wolves than I do the Rockets to come back on the Warriors. And that's a simple matter of experience, knowing how to handle things in a foxhole. Listen, J.J. Redick got his head handed to him in Game 4. He really did not have the right approach in not understanding with 40-year-old LeBron and Luka playing sick that you can't play these guys the entire second half. Somebody's got to get a blow. It was a massive rookie mistake in a big spot by Redick that very well may cost the Lakers this series. With all that said, I know this is very cliche to say, but we've seen enough out of Luka Doncic in his short career and enough out of LeBron James in his long career that down 3-1, I'm not counting these guys out. There's enough good shot makers on the Lakers, and I think they can defend just good enough that if they get a game 5 here at home, and I think they will, this is anybody's series there. Listen, the Warriors, I think, are in better shape if they lose tonight. If I'm either team, I don't want to lose tonight. But if I handicap it and look to the next round, I think that the Warriors would have a much better chance to beat the Lakers than the Wolves.
Wow. Kelsey, last time we talked, I was asking about Draymond Green and DPOY. Obviously, he didn't win it, but what have you seen from him defensively through 4 games in this series? Has he stood out to you?
Yes. First of all, I just so you know, Darryl, I had him second.
Okay.
And I voted for Lou Dort as my defensive player of the year, and I had Draymond second. I did not have Evan Mobley on my ballot, who won the award. So, and, you know, I just felt like he dropped off way too much at the end of the year. Listen, Draymond defensively, this is the best way I can put it. His highest level defensively is higher than anybody's. He can dominate games in so many ways, both on the perimeter and at the rim. Rarely in our lifetime have we seen a guy who's 6'6" with shoes on dominate the rim the way Draymond Green can dominate the rim. Now, I will say this. He struggled with Sengun's size and touch at times in this series and having to guard him. But he's the best guy that has to guard him. But what he's done on the help side, how he's taken away penetration for the Rockets, who love to live at the rim. Green loves to drive. Thompson loves to drive. Sengun's comfortable playing inside. Brooks goes to the basket well. What he's done on the help side at the rim in this series is something I'm not sure there's 7-footers in the league that can do. So wow. Draymond, you know, he doesn't have to plant his flag as this great defensive player. And again, he's had his struggles on the ball a little bit with Sengun, and that's more been a size thing, but he has put on a clinic in this series on what help side defense looks like at the rim and stopping guys from penetrating and getting to the rim.
Brian Geltzeiler joining us on 95.7 The Game. He works for SiriusXM NBA Radio. Let me ask you about the three Warrior veterans, Butler, Curry, and Draymond Green. Obviously, their age is a big theme in this series, and it probably will be if they move along in the postseason. Let's just take a guy like Jimmy Butler. He gets hurt, pelvis. Like, do you expect Butler to get back to healthy, or is this like a slow deterioration over time? And I guess the bigger question, how concerned are you with, you know, the Warriors are up 3-1 in round one, but they still have a long, long way to go if they want to win it all?
So let's start with Butler, Matt, because it wasn't a wear and tear injury, okay? Mm-hmm. It was he fell and he hurt himself. And there was no structural damage. He was in too much pain to play in game 3. And it's a painful injury. I don't say that. And Jimmy Butler's a tough guy. If he can play, he's going to play. Did he look hurt in game 4? I don't think he looked hurt in game 4. He looked pretty good to me.
Yeah.
You know, so my point being is that, listen, anything can happen with an older team. But here's what I think favors the Warriors as an older team in this series. And it's something that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about, but I think it's a really important thing when you talk about those three guys as older players and fitting together. They're comfortable playing slow. And I think it matters. First of all, the game slows down in the playoffs. We hear that cliche all the time. We hear it because it's true. The game slows down. They're all comfortable playing a half-court slower game. There's a little bit less wear and tear on there. Here's the other thing. Kerr going 9 and 10 deep only helps. And I give Steve Kerr credit because he'll go to guys sometimes understanding that they have weaknesses. He'll cover for them for a few minutes the best he can. But there's value in that because you're getting these guys in their mid-30s some rest when they need it. And it doesn't have to be long rest. It can be short rest. But let them kind of catch their breath a little bit. You see a lot of times with injuries that have to do with fatigue and conditioning wearing down and guys wearing down. Look what happened to Dame Lillard over the weekend. That's a guy that sat for a long time, came into a high-intensity playoff situation, and his Achilles gave out. Like, these are the things you worry about with older players, but I think Kerr manages it well. Listen, anything can happen to one of these guys, and if anything happens to one of these three guys, they're finished, and I know you guys know that. Like, they cannot sustain any kind of injury to Curry, Butler, or Green, or this ends for the Warriors in whatever series they're in when it happens. With all that said, I kind of do see a playoff for these guys where they can stay on the floor due to the style of play. It's not this run and gun. Like the Lakers love to run. And God bless them. They get plenty of easy baskets running. LeBron at 40 is still comfortable playing that way. Luka not in the best shape, but at 25 is comfortable playing that way. The Warriors don't play that way, and they don't necessarily have to. And they've done such a good job in these games that have been half-court grinded out games. They look really comfortable there, and that's because of the three veterans. So I'm not terribly worried about that. You can't really prevent it. But as far as older teams go, I think the Warriors, their style of play puts them in, and the Clippers too, by the way, with having their older players, they play slow as well, more so than the Lakers, who get up and down a little more.
Man, BG, when I found out we were having you on, I got to go here because you mentioned Dame, and it was tragic what happened to him and his Achilles. But his team yesterday, I felt bad. They blew a game. But I'm looking at Giannis, and I'm telling Steiny this morning, I don't know, BG, you're in the know. I just go off a feel, right? Are his days numbered in Milwaukee? If you were Giannis, would you want out?
Yeah, Darryl, I think this has become one of those unique situations in the NBA where it benefits the team and the player to both say goodbye. Because, first of all, Giannis is 30 years old. There is nothing there, guys. You know, the version of Dame you're going to get, by the way, 58 and 6 million and 63 million in the next 2 years. I think the 63 million is a player option. I don't claim to be any kind of expert in anything. I would think Dame is going to exercise that player option, right? So you look at that. There's Portis and Lopez are free agents. Outside of Kevin Porter and Gary Trent, what do you have around Giannis? You have nothing. What did it go for, 30, 23, and 12 last night, and they still lost? Like, they're not going to be able to build a winner around him while he's still got prime years left. And he can, right now, his value will never be higher. He can bring you back. Think about the Knicks traded 5 firsts from Mikal Bridges last summer. You can get 2 top-level young assets and 5 first-round picks and swaps for Giannis and completely have this thing reloaded in 3 years if you pull the plug now. Wow. It makes sense. And for Giannis, I want to go somewhere and win. And you know what? San Antonio's got a lot to trade, and Houston's got a lot to trade, and Oklahoma City's got a lot to trade. And maybe it ends up being a Miami deal, maybe it doesn't. But there's so many other places Giannis can go and compete for a title if he goes there. And I think it just makes sense for both sides. I think we saw Giannis play his last game as a Buck last night, and I think that's best for the Milwaukee Bucks organization going forward, and I think it's best for Giannis. Listen, Giannis may admit that. The Bucks organization never will, but I think in a moment of self-awareness, they will understand that Giannis gives them more right now in an asset-based deal, bringing back players and picks, than he does continuing to play through his prime with a Bucks team that's not going to compete for a championship in the next 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
Geltsy, great stuff,
yeah,
as
thanks,
always.
Man.
Appreciate you. And I don't know about you, but I think these playoffs are absolutely fantastic. I think they've been great.
Hey, by the way, guys,
yeah,
no one's complaining about style of play and ratings now, are they?
Right.
No. These games are awesome. And by the way, hat tips to the league and the officials. They're letting them play, and that's what this time of year is all about. I know people are a little bent out of shape over some of the scuffles and stuff. You want them to not like each other and go hard? This is what it looks like, and I love the look.
Yeah. Me too, Geltsy. Have a good one, my man.
You too, guys. We'll talk to you soon. It's always my pleasure. Take care.
Yeah.